Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comedians from New Jersey critique comic actors who are far more successful than they will ever be. I'm John Trumbull. With me is my co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hey, I'm Darren Patterson.
And we're going to talk about Season 44, Episode 2, Awkwafina hosting, Travis Scott musical guesting.
Right, musical guesting. I think
musical guesting.
That's the official title.
That's how I like to say
it. Is that the verb of that?
Oh, yep. And with us also is our producer Frank Kablawi.
Hi, how are
you? How'd you get in here?
Yes, this was an interesting episode for me. I hadn't heard of either of these people before they came onto SNL.
I'm a bit of a hip hop aficionado, as they say. So I knew a little bit about Travis Scott, but I didn't know a ton about him because he's like one of the more newer hip hop artists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of the classic 90s hip hop. Like, I know about, like, you know, De La Soul and Chubb Rock and stuff like that. You know, the classics.
So I'm Googling De La Soul and Chubb Rock right now. I am never felt more
You've
white.
You've never heard of Chubb Rock?
I haven't heard of Chubb Rock. I've heard of De La Soul.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go. That's something. All right. But yeah, Travis Scott, he's like this new hip hopist, and he's all right. But I mean, like, I don't know. I'm trying. I want to be. I don't want to be like one of those old men that says like, "Oh, this new music is terrible. Mm-hmm. I don't like it." And blah da blah da. It's better in my day. But like, I try to listen to the new music, and like, it's just not for me. I think I'm comfortable saying some music, the new music isn't for me. But
Yeah. I find myself saying that more and more often, and it's just like, you know, this isn't bad. It's just not for me. But,
right. And Awkwafina too. Like, I don't know. Have you seen the movie? She's kind of having like a bit of a breakout.
I know she was in Ocean's 8, the female Ocean's 11 style movie.
Right. And
female human, for those of you listening, in case you're wondering, female humans.
Right.
Yeah.
We're talking opposite from male.
You know? I like it when the show has human hosts.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to take a stand. All human hosts.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this question, but has Air Bud ever hosted SNL? Please.
Let's get that started, people.
How has Lassie never hosted an episode?
If someone listening to this wants to make a video where they just put in clips of Air Bud and make it look like Air Bud is hosting SNL, I would love to see that.
I will sign that petition tonight.
Put that up on Twitter. Tag us on Twitter.
Put it out in the ethos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Is that a word?
Okay.
I don't know if it's used appropriately, but it's a word. It's a word. Yeah. I did Oceans. She was, I think, the breakout for Ocean's 8 for me.
She even broke out more in Crazy Rich Asians, which is a huge hit. And she had like a pretty big partner. She really stood out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So now she gets to host. And like, I didn't know, because like, when I heard she was hosting, part of me thought, is she the first, you know, Asian woman to host SNL? And she mentioned that in her monologue that she is not. She's actually the second, the first being Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu, 18 years ago. And that's startling for a couple of reasons. One, I didn't realize that Lucy Liu had been a thing for 18 years. Because Ally McBeal feels like maybe 5 years ago to me.
It's definitely not 5 years ago. I'm sorry. That dancing baby has been around for a long time.
CGI alone, you should have known it wasn't 5 years ago.
I don't devote a great, great deal of thought to Ally McBeal anymore. But if you ask me, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that was like 5 to 10 years ago. I'm already hedging my bets. I increased it from 5 to 10. But SNL has not had another Asian female host in all that time. Actually, barely any Asian hosts.
Yeah, I mean, you could say, Aziz was on it. I mean, you could say him too. But yeah, aside from that, that's
I know Jackie Chan has hosted.
Did he?
At some point, I believe, yes.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. Probably like when Jackie Chan like finally broke through in the U.S.
He was huge for a while.
That was probably also in the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's very true. But it's a pretty big deal. And both Lucy Liu, Awkwafina, both from Queens, New York.
Oh, interesting.
Hugh Burrow represent.
Well, okay, but maybe we should back up a little bit.
Yeah, let's go to the cold open.
The cold open was a newscast from CNN where we go into the Republicans' locker room and they're all celebrating the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation on the Supreme Court.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way they could not talk about it. I mean, it's a pretty big deal and pretty big bummer, so they had to talk about it.
And it's interesting that was a news story that broke literally that day.
I have a feeling they had something written just in case.
Yeah, I have a feeling they did not. They were not concerned whether or not he would get it.
Yeah, that too.
Unfortunately, I think it was kind of written on the wall. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I was hoping for a miracle, but that did not happen. But so, yeah, like, they probably knew, like, this is probably going to happen, so let's write this out and
crying while writing.
Yeah. Weeping and writing. That's how I write my jokes.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's my big set.
I thought it was a cute premise for the sketch with all the Republicans celebrating in the locker room. They're all going, it's like they just won a football game.
Yeah, basically, yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. I got it.
And the thing I was most impressed by was Beck Bennett as Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, see, there he goes.
He was an awesome Mitch McConnell. And whoever did the makeup did an incredible job.
Interestingly enough, it was the same person who did the makeup on the characters from Pan's Labyrinth. Same makeup.
Really?
No.
Wow.
But can you imagine that?
Oh,
because that was so
alien
convincing
thing
with the fingers.
It looked
a little Mitch McConnell in that thing.
He looked very alien. He had that the jowls.
Yes,
they got the jowls just
the little
right.
Beady eyes and a bunch of folds of flat.
I think he just had
Doug
enough.
Jones played Mitch McConnell in in most of the C-SPAN footage you see. It's
Is
amazing.
There anything look it up. Doug Jones can't do?
Fascinating. Wow. Man's everywhere. Wow. And even Cecily Strong, your favorite, she had a very good Susan Collins impression.
Yeah. Cecily Strong is surprisingly good at playing the middle-aged sort of matronly women. And
she's good. I think she's pretty she might be pretty underrated in this cast. I don't know.
Cecily?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, part of me thinks she doesn't. People know her, but I feel like she should be like a bigger deal. That's just me.
As far as I'm concerned, yeah, she's one of the standouts in the cast. I think it's her and Kate McKinnon are, in my mind, the two stars of the cast right now. I think they're both incredibly versatile, incredibly talented, and I hardly ever see them do badly in a sketch.
I will co-sign that.
Sorry. Okay. All right. We are big Kate and Cecily fans here.
Team Kate and Cecily.
Yeah.
We're getting t-shirts made.
That won't be creepy at all.
No, it'll be fine.
No.
Be fine.
No. Yeah, we should just go to the audience wearing those t-shirts.
Be like, oh, security.
Security.
Two middle-aged men.
Yeah. Just show these two out.
Yeah, they're back.
So that was the opening. I thought it was a good opening sketch.
It was good.
We have the show opening again. The new credits. Kyle Mooney's name got mentioned this week.
Yeah,
which was nice for him.
I'm really surprised no one mentioned that he didn't get what happened. Like no one said, hey, how come Kyle Mooney didn't get mentioned before?
I don't. Yeah, maybe it was just such a minor thing they decided it wasn't worth opening that can of worms.
Wow.
But I did notice in that, like I mentioned last week, that the new opening, it's a black and white thing, and it bursts into color when the cast members' face comes up.
Yeah.
But they put in little bursts of color in the black and white stuff,
which
I hadn't noticed last week. And I thought that was a cool production touch.
I dig it. I dig it very much.
I dig it. It's a cool new opening.
Mm-hmm.
I should also mention this. Last week we had a little debate about how you pronounce a certain cast member's name.
Ego, right?
That aside,
what, Beck Bennett?
Michael Shea.
Oh, Michael Shea.
We were saying Michael Shea or Michael Che.
Michael Chahi.
don't
yeah,
throw
a third option.
Oh, you're just confusing the issue more. But going by what Daryl Hammond said at the beginning, it's Michael Shea,
like Shea Stadium.
But can you trust Daryl with this since he dropped that name the first week?
That's true. He didn't even know how to say Kyle. He didn't even know how to say Kyle Mooney. He just didn't say it at all.
Oh, you think that was a pronunciation issue?
He
was
Kyle Kenamoo. What? No, fuck it. I ain't. He just got all belligerent and threw the paper away. Cecily Strong.
That's a good American name. Two words. I know what a Cecily is, and I know what Strong is.
America.
I like how we've just remade Daryl Hammond into just some sort of redneck guy who barely knows anybody he works with.
Yeah, like a Champ Kind from Anchorman. just with a
cowboy.
Just wears a cowboy hat when he does his announcing.
Well, that's my new mental image of Daryl Hammond. Because we don't see him on camera anymore. He could have turned into that.
You don't know. He could be wearing a bolo tie right now.
So we talked a little about Awkwafina's monologue. And
yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
I
liked her line. She said, you know, I'm an average Asian trumpet player turned rapper turned actor. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I didn't even know she played the trumpet. I thought she was like a straight rapper, but I guess she was a trumpet player before a rapper?
I don't know if she was a professional trumpet player. Maybe she just did it in high school or something.
Yeah, this is how we learn.
If we did research on this, we might have more information or context on this.
I was very busy this weekend, everybody.
I actually did some research for you guys.
Oh, thank God. Look at
that. My computer tells me that Jackie Chan hosted in 2000.
Oh,
there was a lag.
You
were on that. There was a significant lag on this.
You were on that.
But he did host in 2000.
So it was Jackie Chan and Lucy Liu in 2000 that hosted?
Oh, well, I'm going to go back and...
Because she said...
She said it was 18 years ago. So that would have been two Asian hosts in 1 year. And wow. Like, that takes care of us for the next couple decades.
Asian invasion.
Yeah, that's a good catch. Wow. Two, and then they got so many letters. They got
like, what the
so
deal?
30 Rock was just full of letters from angry people in the Midwest going, how many of them are there out there?
Threatened white people. Just
this capital E-A-S-T coast.
East Coast. It's like I'm watching Chinatown over there.
And that's Daryl Hammond speaking.
Yeah, and his cowboy hat.
Exactly.
Wow, we're painting
all
quite
of this
a picture.
All is canonical,
wow.
People.
Wow.
Canonical. We did research.
All of this is canonical, possibly slanderous.
Possibly.
Possibly slanderous. We don't know. We have no actual knowledge of the inner workings of the show. This is all supposition.
He means this show. We are not sure how this got on the air.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't even know where I am right now.
It's kind of obvious we're figuring this out as we go.
Right.
Growing
pains.
Yeah, but I liked her that she called out to Lucy Liu in the monologue. I thought that was really cool. And
yeah, it ended on like a serious kind of sweet note. Like I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting like some big joke. I mean, I was like, oh, she's just happy to, you know, she's very grateful for, you know, being here and being like the second Asian woman to host a show.
And I think that's just important. It's nice to remind people that inclusion matters and representation matters.
Yes, absolutely.
And stuff like this. And, you know, not that you want it to be like a quota system or something like, we need 5 Asian hosts in the next few years or something
on its debt.
But,
but yeah, you should just be aware. Be like, hey, we've only had nothing but white dudes. Maybe we should switch that up.
Yeah, I mean, just for variety's sake, if nothing else.
I hear you.
The first sketch of the night.
First sketch of the night was
the dance battle.
All right,
where we have a couple of dance crews and they're challenging each other to a dance off.
Right,
and the second team that Awkwafina is on, they're all dancing to game show themes.
Yeah, I was wondering what the twist would be, and sure enough, it did not disappoint.
I thought that was a pretty good twist. I think that was probably my favorite sketch of the night, personally.
I dug it. I thought it was cute and funny. I mean, I also have like a soft spot for it because I really like the theme song to The Price is Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much so that like I remember like back when I used to make like mix CDs for myself, just like download stuff off of Napster. Mm-hmm. Well, one of my CDs is the theme song to The Price is Right. Just so I can listen to it like on a daily basis.
Is that like your entrance music anywhere?
It just might be.
Like, you know, we have a show coming up together at the end of the month.
I was just thinking
that. Maybe we should use that as we should figure out some good entrance music.
We're going to talk to the DJ about that. See if I can get brought up to the theme song to The Price.
You know,
is
like
Right.
You'll send him the MP3 right before.
Yeah.
And it could just be, you know, John Trumbull and Darren Patterson, come on down. So they dance to the theme song to The Price is Right.
Yeah.
Family Feud. The Jeopardy, the final Jeopardy theme.
Right.
I think that was everything, right?
Final, at the very end, they danced to I believe it was the Match Game theme song.
Okay, that was it. I knew it was like an older game show theme, but I couldn't immediately place it.
I think it was Match. It was like that one with the bass line.
Uh-huh. I think you're right. And we also had a cameo by Travis Scott.
By Travis Scott,
as
yes.
Little Bang Bang.
it's a cool name.
Cool name. And a lot of the SNL cast, they've got some moves.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Pretty good dancers.
Yeah, like Chris Redd. He was like doing
Chris Redd is a hell of a break dancer, it looks like.
He was doing some wiggle waggle stuff with his legs. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What is this about?
I was just like, and that was the main thing that Ego got to do
in the
show. Was, you know, she showed off some of her dance moves.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
And
Kate
McKinnon,
she was like
Baby Tooth, and she did some nice... did some nice character work in there. I always get a... She was like, it makes sense to me, but I'm stupid.
Yeah, like, she didn't have, like, a huge part in it, but, like, she'll, you know, drop a little nuggets of laughter here and there. It's like,
yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not bad.
I like that. That's what you should do in a nice character part. You just pepper in a little bit, in a little yeah. extra spice into the sketch.
Yeah.
Not just, the main dish, but right. a little extra spice. You just give it a little kick.
Yeah.
You do a little Emeril Lagasse
yeah.
in the comedy sketch.
A little ka-chow-wow.
Boom. And
wham. Ka-kia.
So,
is that how you cook? I don't know.
That is not how I cook. I put a TV dinner in the microwave and I press a few buttons.
Oh, that's sad.
I'm a sad bachelor man.
Oh boy. Oh, this is going off the rails.
Wow, this took a turn. This went dark.
So second sketch.
Second sketch was a film segment with the presidential alert.
Yeah, I dug it because I didn't see the end coming because I thought like mm-hmm. it would be like a commercial for like an app. That would stop the presidential alerts, but then yeah. It wasn't. Then it was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, the turn was at the end. It was I think it was Heidi Gardner's character. She yeah. had a cell phone plan that was so bad it wasn't getting the presidential right. alerts, because the basic joke of the sketch was the presidential alerts were coming out like the president's tweets.
Right.
And so it was all about just stupid, trivial stuff and how that right. man sees the world, and it was disturbingly accurate.
You
could easily see him doing that.
I can't watch it too long. I'll just yeah. break down into tears.
Yeah. Although I did agree with one of them that Tiffany Amber Thiessen still looks amazing.
Yeah, that's right. Tiffany Amber Thiessen. If you ever want to be on our podcast,
that's right. This
email.
This is your tweet official us. Invite. I mean, we all know what a big SNL freak
we
Tiffany
do.
Amber Thiessen is.
It's out there in the ethos.
I think she dropped the Amber. I think she's just Tiffany Thiessen now.
Tiffany Thiessen? Why not
just,
Tiffany Amber?
I don't know. Maybe it was...
It's like John Cougar Mellencamp. Just keep changing.
Yeah.
What is this?
There's just a nice rhythm to Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yeah. Tiffany Thiessen?
I mean, it's okay.
It's alliteration. It's good.
Yeah.
But I grew up with Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I'm
That's right.
It's like I call it the Triborough Bridge. I don't call it the whatever bridge is called now.
Right.
Or the other, the tunnel thing.
Yeah. In retrospect, renaming it whatever bridge it's called now was probably a bad move.
I'm pretty sure it's not called that. I just don't remember what it's called.
It's just a really vague name.
Yeah. It's Robert F. Kennedy? I don't know. Whatever.
That sounds right, but I'm not.
Let's
it's
not
a bridge I ever take.
Okay, well, let's just say I'm right and move
yeah.
on.
Yeah, I take the Lincoln, I take the GWB.
Oh boy.
This is our regional New Jersey into New York City segment of the show.
This is where we just talk about routes getting home.
This is our version of the Californians.
Like sometimes I take exactly. Oh boy. Like sometimes I take Route 9, but then I get off, and then yeah. I take the side streets.
This is reminding me all over again why I hated that sketch so much.
We'll go back into the show. But yeah, do you want to talk about the Californians for a bit?
It was a horrible sketch. I don't have much more to say about
it. But that's the thing. They keep replaying it. I guess people like it, but I don't. But that whole thing about them just doing routes to places in Californian accents, like, that's cute for a little bit, but is that enough for like a 5-minute sketch?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those recurring sketches. It was just sort of the same thing every time they did it.
Right.
So it was after the first couple times, it was like, yeah, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
What else you got?
But then it's just like, maybe it's one of those things where it's like, at first it's ridiculous, but then they keep mm-hmm. doing it until
is unfunny and unfunny and unfunny and eventually becomes
funny. Yeah, it's unfunny so long it becomes funny.
Maybe. I don't know. I honestly don't know if that was something that they did and it was inexplicably. Thank you. It was very popular for some reason I don't understand, or if it was just something that the cast liked a lot.
I think it was just like something that for the cast.
Yeah, that's a feeling I get too.
That's right. All right, so the presidential tweets short. At the end of it, it's revealed that Heidi wasn't getting her tweets because she has Cricket Wireless.
Yes.
Which is a funny website, a funny phone plan you can make fun of.
Yes, yes. And,
it's like people make fun of Boost Mobile and Metro GPS.
Right.
Or CPS?
GPS.
GPS, I don't know. Metro CPS, that's it. And you can make fun
CVS?
Of
CVS?
Yes. JFK, blown away.
Yes.
What more do I have to say?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we have fun here.
We are going full Billy Joel on the podcast because we are hip to the musics of today.
Right on, like the Travis Scotts that we just found out about.
So, anyway, about the current show.
Yes,
the
next back to the show. Yes,
was a History Channel. I like the offhand mention of World War II Lost in New York. That was a funny line.
Yeah.
This was Hidden Tales of Egypt, with Cecily Strong, our favorite, as Cleopatra, and she was getting a makeover from a beautician named Isis with her assistants Xerxes and Becky. And
it was all right. I mean, yeah.
It was fine. It wasn't quite as funny as it could have been, I think.
Yeah, I expected like a big change somewhere or something.
You wanted more of a turn.
Yeah, I wanted a turn of something to happen, but it never really came. And yeah. It was all right.
Yeah, there were some funny lines. The line I wrote down, are you a cat? Because I worship you. And I did like when Cecily said, oh, I hate that picture, delete it. And it was painted on a vase, so he just smashed the vase.
Yeah, that was funny, but...
And I'm going to give a little shout out to Alex Moffat at the end.
Yeah.
He comes in as Julius Caesar, and he's just playing Julius Caesar as a douchebag boyfriend.
He's good at that. Like,
I really liked.
I've noticed that, like, he's done that before. Like, segment he has on Weekend Update, where it's the guy who bought a boat and brags about his boat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he plays that guy who's, like, kind of a douchey bro guy, but he also talks about how small his dick is,
and he's like, well, yeah, come on, baby, I got tickets to this thing.
Yeah. Like he's good at that. No, Moffat has his moments where he's like, oh, okay, that's why you got the gig.
Yeah.
Like, good for you.
So, you know, decent sketch, not one for the ages or anything, but it ate up a few minutes in the broadcast. So, and really, isn't that all you want?
Just something to take your mind off of life.
Exactly.
Oh, geez, that was dark. Whoa, sorry.
I like how this is like an upbeat podcast with just little moments of despair peeking out around
the
edges.
That's what we're going for, baby. Hot damn.
Next, we had another film segment, which was all about the Texas campaign between Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. And it was Awkwafina and Kenan Thompson. They were both these...
Like the hype people.
Exactly. They were the crowd people. And they're desperately trying to make Ted Cruz look cool, which is a futile task.
Yes.
Because Ted Cruz just makes everything he touches uncool.
Yeah, I just liked that, like how as soon as he went to the mic, it started like feedback started getting in. Like when he was like, hey, Ted Cruz, who wants to see him slam dunk a basketball? And as soon as they give him a basketball, like it just... He can't even dribble it.
It immediately deflated.
It goes down to the ground. Just deflated. Yeah.
The confetti cannon didn't work. It just came out in this wad.
This wad of gunk. And like...
I didn't, Beck Bennett was playing Ted Cruz. Yes. I didn't think his Ted Cruz was especially good.
It wasn't strong, but I mean, I got it. I understood what he was good.
I mean, I guess he functioned the way he was supposed to function in the sketch, but he didn't look much like Ted Cruz. There wasn't much about how he acted that I was like, oh yeah, that's Ted Cruz. Mitch McConnell in the opening, I was like, slam dunk. He was spectacular in that. His Ted Cruz was just,
But I mean, he had the essence of Cruz, just Cruzy.
And it's not like Ted Cruz deserves a good impression anyway.
Damn straight.
You know, a lackluster impression of Ted Cruz is actually very appropriate.
Lackluster impression for a lackluster man. That's right, I said it.
That's right.
Oh man, we're never going to make it into red states now.
I mean, I was thinking about this today. Is like SNL, they do so much about politics and current events. It's impossible to do a show like this without commenting on current politics to some degree. So
absolutely.
Yeah, you're gonna get an inkling of what our real life opinions are.
That's right. Sorry, snowflakes, you don't like it. cuckflakes. What do they call them?
Cuckflakes. I like that.
Yeah,
I haven't heard cuckflakes before, but I really like that.
Copyrighted here on the SNL.
Yeah, cuckflakes. I'm gonna remember that. Hashtag cuckflakes. Let's get that trending.
We're getting t-shirts made of that, too.
Yeah, that's right. So next we had the Travis Scott musical segments. You talked a little about Travis Scott before. It was a big production. It was all this dry ice and lasers and auto-tune and rotating turntables.
A lot of auto-tune. And a carousel horse for some reason.
A woman on a horse just and sitting there turning.
I thought she was going to like dance or something.
She didn't even sing, did she?
No, she was just like kind of lazily was like hanging out on a horse. And this might be my age, but I looked at it, I was like, what is this? It's just like a dude singing through a mic, make him sound like a robot, and just kind of tapping buttons once in a while, and you know, jumps around, and there's lasers that go off, and that's your show.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be, it would be basically just the band playing the band or the musician or whatever they had. And now it's, we do like these big production numbers. We got stage stuff, and it's like something you'd see in a live concert situation. And on one hand, it's cool. On the other hand, it's just like, oh my God, this is so much effort.
Part of me thinks, and this might not be a popular opinion, but like it's maybe one of those things where they have so much things going on to kind of distract you from the fact that the guy isn't doing much. Maybe. Yeah. Is that type of, because like a good musician or a good artist just needs like, you know, instruments and a band to just play. And that the music is enough to, you know, entertain you and carry you, you know, throughout the show or their performance. But like if you're not doing much, you're just kind of just sitting there talking to a mic, sounding like an autotune robot and just tapping buttons and hitting drum pads, that, you know, people can be like, wait, he's not doing much. Mm-hmm. So you got to like put on like lasers and fog machines and, you know, flaming dragons or whatever to distract the fact that you're not doing much.
Okay, so you think that was like a diversion tactic?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
It's like jingling the car keys in front of a baby.
Calling Travis Scott out right here on the air. You heard it here
the
first.
Scott Hives is coming after me.
This might be the first feud we're starting.
This might be it. Oh boy.
Is Travis Scott on Twitter? I don't even know.
Everybody is. I must assume.
It seems like. Yeah.
I gotta assume.
Okay, let's call him out on Twitter. Let's get a feud going, because this would be good press for us.
Yes.
Let's just cynically be like, hey, Travis Scott, we don't like the turntables.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what that production meeting was like. Where they're just sitting there in the beginning of the week, and he's like, yeah, I need turntables with a carousel horse.
What was the point of that horse? I don't understand. But then again, I am an old man, so like,
yeah,
it's probably not for me. But at the same time, I was like, all right,
I know we're gonna have all the kids tweeting at us.
I know
you don't get it, man.
We're never gonna be able to go back to the mall again. The horse, with this.
I don't go to the mall anyway.
Now you're definitely not gonna go to the mall.
Okay, well, Willbrook, I did have to get a tripod for my cell phone this week, but yeah.
Oh, I
don't know if I'm going to be able to do that now, if I'm not allowed in malls anymore, if I can't go to the malls.
The skateboarders are going to be like, you get out of here, Trumbull. You get out of here right now.
Damn it.
Throw a Jamba Juice at you.
Well, I made my own bed. So next, after the musical guest, we have Weekend Update.
Yes.
With Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Che.
So, I thought this was a good segment of Weekend Update.
Yeah, not bad. It was good. Like, a lot of good. Yeah, there's always good jokes. I think this is like my favorite part is the Weekend Update of the show. Like, it was good. I think Colin, not Colin, I think Michael Che, sorry. Wow. No.
I like how you went right up to saying something nice about Colin Jost, and then you're like, oh, not Colin.
Well,
not
no, Colin's fine. He's fine. I know you.
Yeah,
have a thing with Colin, but I think he's all right.
I'm more down on Colin than you are, but I do think he's improved.
Yes.
In the time he's been on the show, he's been doing Weekend Update for I think 3 seasons now.
Has it been 3 seasons already?
That feels like 3 seasons.
Maybe more
to me. This would be a great time for our producer Frank to still be in the room.
No,
so he could look stuff up and tell us about it 5 minutes later.
No, he took off. He didn't believe in this product.
He took off. He was He's like, I've lost all faith in you guys, John. Here's how the board works. I'm out of here.
Godspeed.
I'm out of here, bitches.
And just slid on a dinosaur's tail like Fred Flintstone in the beginning. It's like, where'd that dinosaur come from?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I think Michael Che has a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
He's always hilarious. And on this one, we had the guests come in with Moffitt and Moffitt and Day doing their
Eric and Donald Trump
Eric and Donald,
Jr.
That's always they're
always solid as those two. And
those are the strongest characters.
Yeah, so those are my favorite recurring bit of those guys do, because they've really figured out that characterization, and they've exaggerated enough to make it really really funny.
Right.
And they play off each other really well. Whenever I see them come on as the Trump sons now, right, I'm just like, oh, this will be cool.
Yeah.
This will be good.
Exactly. I mean, they don't do like an impression of them, but they sort of capture they make a characterization of them. And like you can, they do it enough so that, oh, yeah, that's what they could be like. And then Pete
Davidson came on, and I was surprised by this. He did a segment all about Kanye.
Yeah.
doing his pro-Trump, I don't know, would you call it a rant? Would you call it a statement, a filibuster?
I would say rant, you know, bizarre, inane rant.
We didn't really see this. It wasn't part of the show proper.
No, it was on, I mean, if you looked at Chris Rock's Instagram, he put it on there.
That's right.
I was actually surprised they talked about it. I didn't think, I thought they were just kind of just, you know, let it go and be quiet about it.
It would have been the easiest thing in the world for them to not comment on it. But Pete Davidson, I thought he did great. I think Pete Davidson is best in the Weekend Update segments that he does because of his stand-up background, probably.
I was just thinking that, too, like, after I saw it. Like, I had that epiphany where it's like, you know, he doesn't do character, he doesn't do impressions.
Mm-hmm.
When he's in...
By his own admission, too.
Yeah, he admits it, too. Yeah. But, like, when he does sketches, he's not the best. But when he's... Mm-hmm. You know, he's the best when he's just himself talking.
Yeah.
And, like, that's when it's like, oh, okay, now I see it.
And he's funny. He had a lot of good lines. Let's see.
He had that one where Kanye was saying, like, oh, I'm off the meds. It's a real me.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, take the meds.
Go back on the meds.
Yeah.
Back on
like, you wouldn't want to go on an airplane and have your pilot say, hey, everybody, this is the real me. I'm off the meds.
And he opened up by saying, like, I was going back and forth with Shay. About which one of us should talk about it, but Shay's black and I'm crazy, so we decided I should talk about it.
Yeah, the fact that he's like self-aware enough to say, "Yeah, I've had mental issues," and like I know I'm not a great actor, and I'm engaged to this insanely attractive pop star. Like I know none of it makes sense. He knows who he is, and he knows what it is.
And I always like it when somebody will make fun of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that the self-awareness that that shows, and I like the healthy ego that shows that you can take a few shots at yourself.
I'm like, Pete Davidson, you're all right.
Yeah,
you're all right.
I mean, I loved his line. It was one of the most awkward things I've ever seen, and I've seen Chevy Chase talk to an intern.
Yeah!
That, wow, major Chevy Chase shade.
Like, Pete Davidson, you just scored a lot of cool points with this podcast.
Yes.
That might be a future episode, the whole Chevy Chase
We could easily do an episode all about Chevy Chase.
Yeah, I mean, I
would have to bring in reference material for that one, which is
the Life from New York book.
I would bring in the Life from New York book, which if you haven't read it, it's an amazing read,
really good.
I'm blanking on the author's names right now. We'll have Frank edit that in later on. We'll just be like, Frank, do some production work and look up these names.
It was written by Mr. Black.
It was written by insert name here. but it's an amazing read because it's every cast has a Chevy Chase as an asshole story.
Yeah.
And it's like every 10 years or so in the show, like clockwork, it comes around again. And I think we talked about this a little last week.
We touched on it,
And it's amazing. But we'll get back to that at a later date. Yeah, maybe on one of the skip weeks or something.
Yes.
But I think... That Pete Davidson segment about Kanye, I think that was probably the highlight of the show for me. That was the bit I found funniest. I found that funnier than any of the sketches.
No, absolutely. I totally agree.
So next we have another sketch with So You're Willing to Date a Magician. With Leslie Jones as a game show host.
Yeah.
And Awkwafina as the contestant who is dating one of four magicians. And we have the SNL... cast members as various styles of magicians.
Kenan Thompson was like a Harry Blackstone type.
Yeah, he looked a little like Neil deGrasse Tyson with the vest.
Right.
With the colorful vest.
Kyle Mooney was like, I guess, an old-timey, like Houdini type.
He was kind of steampunk.
Yes, very much so.
He was like a man out of time.
Yes.
And then we had Pete Davidson as a David Blaine-style magician.
Yeah, or what's that other one? Chris Angel, I guess.
A little of that. I thought he had a little bit of Blaine's look.
Yeah, very.
Just like all in black leather jacket.
Pretty Blaine-y.
And then we had Alex Moffat and Heidi Gardner as brother and sister magicians who are uncomfortably close to each other.
Yes, very much so.
So I thought
it was all right.
It was a pretty good sketch. I thought it was a funny idea. There were a lot of funny moments in it.
Yeah.
It got a little sloppy at times, I will say.
Okay.
You know, there might have been a certain cast member who, say, got the name of the game show wrong when they were announcing it at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Later broke.
Oh, yeah.
Later covered their face with their note cards to cover them breaking.
Oh, yeah. But it was good.
And Pete Davidson broke, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but...
Once one person breaks, it's only a matter of time before people break.
That's true.
It's, you know, so, it's like dominoes.
Yeah, but it wasn't all right. It was
okay.
It was another game show sketch. SNL does a lot of game show sketches.
A lot. They seem to be doing more and more of them. Am I not?
It's one of their go-tos. I would say they generally do too many, but it's an easy format to do for a sketch because it gives you a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah,
and I get that. And I pity the poor set designers who have to design so many different game show sets.
It's like, oh, we got to get panels or whatever.
We got to get more podiums.
Oh, God.
We got to do another game show. Oh.
Another podium? Oh.
You know the production department's hating it. They'll never say it, but they're hating it.
Yeah. We're saying it for you, production people. We will be your voice.
We are your advocates,
yes.
SNL production department.
We are the Serenade de Vergerac to you.
So let's see. Next we have the baby shower.
Oh, yeah.
Where Heidi Gardner's character is having a baby shower, and Cecily Strong brings in her dog walker Dee Dee because she's so taken with Dee Dee. And Awkwafina was playing Dee Dee.
Yeah, it was one of the sketches where it's kind of all on Awkwafina to elevate it. She did all right, but I don't know. It just didn't seem to. I don't know where it was going. It just kind of
it was a weird sketch. It took a while to get going, and honestly, like, Awkwafina, when she came on, she got, like, a little applause break.
Yeah, that's surprising. It's like, she's the host. She's been in, like, a bunch of sketches before this. Why is she... Did she want somebody different?
My thought was, like, is this a character that she's done elsewhere that she's bringing onto the show? And I didn't know. I mean, she's...
I didn't even think of that.
I mean...
Huh.
Maybe, but if
maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, we'll have Frank put this into.
Yeah, yeah, Frank, this will be your next research project for the night.
Get on it.
And I love how we think that Frank is going to listen to this show.
He's not. He's just going to
put this up. And bastard.
Wow.
It's our second episode. He's already slacking off.
Jeez Louise.
But it was an okay sketch. Basically, it was the dog walker Dee Dee. She was so PC and such a advocate for Cecily Strong's character that she was disrupting the whole party.
Yeah, she's like, put that baby in the room. I don't know. It just kind of, I guess it felt, I don't know, it felt like a little awkward. I was like, where is this going?
It seemed a little half-formed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, very much so. And like, they did like one of those endings where it just kind of ends abruptly.
Yeah.
They've done that from time to time where it just kind of just ends and then, like, some person has, like, a line, and then it just cuts to the exterior shot, and then it's like, all right, that's it, we're done.
Yeah, yeah, and it wasn't, like, a big laugh line or anything. Maybe it was, but it was just, it just sort of ended.
It's like, all right.
Petered off. It's just weird when things just peter off.
Almost like this.
Like that. Podcast. Okay. Next, there was a film segment.
Yes.
The Pumpkin Patch.
Yeah, that, that's so kind of one note.
This, I have a feeling this was a Kyle Mooney,
Kyle Mooney joint
sketch, because it seemed like their sort of oddish humor. I mean, basically the joke is there are these three workers at this pumpkin patch, and well, they're all fucking the pumpkins. That's
literally the entire sketch.
That's it.
And then they just draw it out.
It's an awkward conversation between the boss and them. And he's like, you can't do that. And they're like, oh, or were we not supposed to?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ideas where if you have, like, the right people in it, they can elevate it to be, like, a little bit more, even though it's, like, a simple thing. But if you have, you know, if people are just going, like, kind of leaning on the fucking pumpkin thing as, like, the main, you know, hub or whatever of the humor, then it's only going to go so far.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have much to say about this one.
I really don't either.
It was just the fucking pumpkins.
And
as a band, they're not quite as good as they used to be back in the 90s.
What was that?
The fucking pumpkins.
Wait, oh, okay, I gotcha. It took me a minute. I was like, what is he talking about? Oh, I see what he did.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
very good.
Yeah. That was my little Smashing Pumpkins joke.
Despite all my rage.
And then we had our final sketch of the night.
Wow.
Women's Roundtable. This is a recurring thing
that
we've seen before, where basically the joke is we have three modern-day actresses, and they're talking to Kate McKinnon's character of DeBette Goldrey,
who is
a lady from the golden age of Hollywood, and she... is detailing all the horrific stuff that was done to her back in the day.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised they didn't put this sketch in earlier, because, like, you know, yeah. Kate McKinnon-led stuff usually goes up, like, a little bit towards the front, I thought, right?
I think it would have been a good one to have earlier in the show, especially since it's a recurring character.
Yeah.
That surprised me. And, you know, I don't know. I thought it was a good, solid sketch.
Yeah, it's a good sketch. It's all right.
And we had, let's see, I should detail who else was in there. We had Cecily Strong. She was playing Marion
Cotillard.
Thank you. Which was a good fit for her, because I know Cecily Strong, she speaks French in real life.
She does?
I remember a few years ago when they had, there was that shooting in Paris, Jesus Charlie, I believe, was the magazine.
Charlie Hebdo.
Charlie Hebdo. That was it. Thank you. And she gave this beautiful tribute in French, and she was obviously, like, fluent in the language.
En France, en français.
And her accent was very good, I thought.
Wow.
As a non-French speaker critiquing her accent,
it sounded great.
So yeah, she did a good job.
I didn't know
it.
That.
Wow. And we had I think someone who's rapidly becoming one of our new favorites, Heidi Gardner.
Yeah.
As Allison Janney.
She did.
Who does an Allison Janney?
No one does an Allison Janney.
That was and she was recognizably Allison Janney.
Yeah.
And I'm always impressed when somebody comes along and they've kind of figured out the code to imitate a particular celebrity.
It's like when, who was, it might have been Jay Moore, when he might have been, like, the first one to do, like, a Christopher Walken impression.
Yeah.
I think it was
Absolutely.
Jay Moore.
Yeah.
And then, like, after he did it, everybody was like, oh, that's how you do it. And, like,
now
everybody does a Walken. And, like,
yeah. But a lot of them are really doing Jay Moore doing Christopher Walken.
Yeah, exactly.
Walken. And
it's like when
Dana Carvey did the first George Bush,
right,
George H.W. Bush, with it, not gonna do it,
right.
All that whole area around there. And then after that, that's how everybody imitated Bush.
Yeah.
And they weren't really doing Bush. They were doing Dana Carvey doing George Bush.
Or it's like when Eddie Murphy did a Bill Cosby impression. Like, no one did a Bill Cosby impression, but then he did it. And then everybody was like, oh, that's a Bill Cosby.
I guess he was the first guy, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I don't remember anybody doing Bill Cosby until he did it on Raw. And then, like, everybody else did Bill Cosby impression, but they
were
all...
I was supposed to talk to you!
Yeah, exactly!
Yeah.
I would like to talk to you!
And then he does a Richard Pryor at the end of that bit.
Yeah, everybody forgets. He does an awesome Richard Pryor, even better than the Cosby.
I mean, like, you could tell he was, like, a huge, huge fan of those guys, and he listened to their albums a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Indeed. But the round table.
It was... And we also had Awkwafina as Sandra Oh.
Right.
She had a line that I didn't quite get because I don't watch Killing Eve. She said she plays women who give speeches after just getting out of the shower. Which I guess is a thing that Sandra Oh does on Killing Eve.
Yeah. Well, I guess she did that on Killing Eve. Maybe she did that on Grey's Anatomy too, or I don't know.
Well, where does Killing Eve air? I don't even know that.
BBC America.
Okay. Okay, so I'm assuming they can be a little more liberal and explicit with the nudity and the adult content than, like, a network TV show like Grey's Anatomy. So apparently you can see Sandra Oh getting out of the shower on Killing Eve.
Fellas.
A lot.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it. I heard very good things about it.
What is it about? I don't even know.
I don't know. But I heard it's very good.
Okay. It's an Eve and we're killing her. And is Sandra the star of it?
We're killing Christmas Eve, yes.
Oh, okay.
We're killing Eve Plum.
All right. Wow.
That's, no, we're not. Eve Plum, don't worry about it.
That seems unnecessarily harsh, but...
Marsha paid us good money, so...
Yeah.
And wow, that got dark again. Wow.
You mentioning both Christopher Walken and Eve Plum, it reminded me, the 10 p.m. reading, rerun... I don't know if you had a chance to see this.
I was going to bring that
out
up.
Of town.
Yes,
it was one from 1992 with Christopher Walken hosting.
Right.
Arrested Development as the musical guest, and
the band, not the TV show.
Yes, we do have to specify now, don't we? And I think it was the first time that Walken. No, it wasn't. No, he first hosted in the 80s. But
I think so.
Yeah, I miss Christopher Walken hosting, man.
He's pretty phenomenal. He was in the Cowbell sketch, one of the most iconic sketches.
That's ever. I mean, one of the few SNL DVDs I own is the best of Christopher Walken.
Ooh.
collection. And that's got Cowbell right up there. It's got Colonel Angus. it's got a Continental sketch.
See, the Colonel Angus sketch, that's like a simple idea, but like if you had the right people on it, like it can be pretty funny.
That was.
And the Continental sketch, I was watching that too, and I was there's no way that sketch could be done like today. And
you don't think so?
Not well in the Me Too era. Like that whole thing is so rapey.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of the point. I mean, the joke's on him. He's so rapey.
It is, yeah, but I don't know. I feel like people would have a problem with it. But
I don't think it's glorifying the guy.
No, it's not. But it's just like I don't know. Something tells me like people will be like have issues.
Yeah,
with
maybe
it.
You're
but
right.
I know. But when it came out, I dug it.
It might not be the time for it.
Yeah, because it's a sketch. That's all. He's the only one in the sketch. It's all him.
Yeah.
So
him and the cameraman.
Yeah, the cameraman. Yeah, of course.
who's like usually wearing like an evening glove or something.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you don't see too many one person sketches on SNL.
So. No. That's very unusual.
So the fact that he's the only one in that. The only one with talking lines, in the sketch, and he's making it so funny that says a lot.
And that's one of those offbeat sketches that they do that you could only see on SNL.
Right.
And I always love it when a host has a recurring bit too.
Pretty
don't get that too often. Yeah, that with Christopher Walken with the Continental, he had.
Right.
I think Tom Hanks did Mr. Short-Term Memory a few times.
I
love Mr. Short-Term Memory.
Or the other one where it was Tom Hanks and John Lovitz, and they were...
Oh, yes.
The ladies on love.
Those guys I don't think you could do today.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You could not.
They would not be welcome on the SNL airwaves.
Not at all.
Past our time.
Expiration date has been reached.
Yeah. But I like it when they reach back a little further for the 10 p.m. reruns.
I got to start watching those more.
I got out of the habit of it, but I was around last night and I turned it on and I was so happy I did because I was like, oh well, it's Christopher Walken. This is going to be a good one. And it was he did that sketch parroting his appearance in The Dead Zone.
Oh yeah,
where he was the trivial psychic.
Oh yeah,
he just makes contact with somebody and he predicts that they're going to get an ice cream headache or they're going to leave something in a cab. That's
a great
sketch.
You're going to get an ice cream headache.
And
that's me doing Jay Moore.
That was good. Good. Gosh, I miss Phil Hartman and Jan Hooks.
Oh,
they were so good.
We may need to do another episode just about Phil Hooks. Good God.
Phil Hooks.
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hooks and Jan Hartman. Heretofore unknown love child of Phil Hartman and Jan Hooks. Phil Hooks.
Love child.
They had a torrid affair on the set in 1986.
That's right behind the old Gumby costume.
He's 32 now. We're going to have him as a guest in a few weeks.
That's right.
Phil Hooks.
Oh, boy.
We're breaking the story wide open.
Wow. Wow, wowee.
Well,
wow.
We've already got that other slander lawsuit. So
yeah.
Let's go for broke. Let's go whole hog with
this is going. We're going to be in litigation for quite some time.
We are.
No
we. But but they were so good. Like
they were so
Jan
good.
Hooks. This was after Jan Hooks had left the cast, I guess, but she had a special appearance, and this must have been like the week after the whole Sinead O'Connor ripping up the picture of Pope.
We should do an episode of like insane, like, you know, musical guest happenings or like,
or moments where the show went disastrously wrong.
Yes, because like that, I remember when that happened, when Sinead ripped up the picture and everybody just lost their minds.
I remember that. I remember when Ashley Simpson.
I remember the Ashley Simpson thing because I was like, what the
lip sync incident?
I remember watching that, was like, what the fuck?
That
was
that? Yeah.
I wish I remembered. I wish I was old enough to remember it, but the whole Elvis Costello one, the big one where they wanted him to do that song, Than Zero, but he in the middle of the song said, no, we're doing it.
He comes on, he plays a few bars of Less Than Zero, and then he just decides impulsively. Stops. He literally stops the band and he just says, "I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. There's no reason for me to play this song here tonight."
Right.
And he goes into radio, which bashes the broadcasting industry. And
pretty punk rock.
I have wonderful punk rock moment. I'm a huge freakish Elvis Costello fan. And that is one of the most rock and roll moments I've ever seen. I love that. And the legend has it that Lorne Michaels and Dan Aykroyd were just off camera giving him the finger throughout that whole performance, which if you watch the clip with that in mind, it's so much more fun.
Oh, man.
Because Elvis looks really, really angry. and then at the end of the song, he just unplugs and just strides off stage, and then the attractions look confused, and they just sort of wander off.
Go?
And yeah, like supposedly Lorne Michaels was really pissed because that threw off the timing for the whole show.
Yeah, I could see that. But I mean, God.
But those are the moments you live for.
Damn straight.
As an SNL fan, you're part of you. You're kind of waiting for the show to go off the rails just to see what they do.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised. I thought he was a little bit more punk rock. I mean, I know he's not like full Belushi, but I thought he'd be like, that's awesome.
I don't know. I'm sure this is like one of those legends that's gotten exaggerated in the telling. But
so now you're telling me Ackroyd is going to come after us with a lawsuit.
Probably. Ackroyd's going to sue us. How many people are suing us now? At least three.
Five?
I don't know.
Wow.
We
got to get a lawyer.
Frank, your next project, you're gonna go through this episode. You're going to log everybody that we pissed off enough to sue us.
Yes. The non-productive legal team have their hands full. Tonight, but you got a busy evening.
But we're meandering a bit now, so I think maybe we should just say goodnight. But please join us next week.
Yes,
we're going to be back. We're going to be covering the October 13th episode with Seth Meyers hosting and Paul Simon musical guesting.
That should be interesting. I know Seth Meyers. I mean, when he was on the show, like he was when he did sketches, he was like kind of on and off. He was better behind the desk. It'll be interesting to see how he does in sketches now.
I remember liking him in sketches, and eventually he became head writer and the Weekend Update anchor. And he just he concentrated on that, understandably so, as I think most people who get in that chair do.
Yeah, because
it's a lot of work. But
Paul Simon, I mean, he's Paul Simon, my God.
Paul Simon, I mean, come on.
New York staple.
And he's an SNL institution.
He's been there. Yeah, him and Lauren have been friends for years, right? Like since the 70s?
Yeah, I'm sure at least since the 70s. He's in the Five-Timers Club.
Five-Timers Club.
One, two, three, four, five. You're great. So we're looking forward to that one.
We're both wearing robes.
That's going to be fun. Just the two old favorites coming back to have a good show.
I can't wait.
So I think that'll about do it for this week. Darren, do you have any plugs coming up that you want to tell the fine people?
Yeah, no. You can just find me on Instagram and Twitter at Darren Credible. Check out my website, darrencredible.com. D-A-R-I-N Credible.
Yeah.
And we got a show coming up at Tierney's.
We do.
Tavern in Montclair on the 28th.
On the 28th of October.
Yes, the Halloween show.
We're supposed to wear black or orange.
I will be wearing maybe both. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that show. We always have fun when we co-host together.
It's going to be a hoot.
And I'm also at Tierney's a couple weeks before that. Next week on the 14th, Sunday the 14th. I will be there, and it's a fundraiser for Alzheimer's New Jersey, which is a cause that's near and dear to my heart. So if you're hearing this and you're in the northern New Jersey area, please come out to Tierney's. So you could also find me on the tweets and the Instagram at Trumbull Comic. And I'm not going to spell that for you. Check the show notes.
Spell it yourself, you.
That's right. You know how Trumbull sounds like? Yeah, it's probably spelled like that.
Yeah.
So that is going to do it. So until next week, I'm John Trumbull.
I'm Darren Patterson.
And thank you, and good night.
Night.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com. Thank you.